Welcome to this first GOP podcast of the new year. I'm Ruhl Sample, honored to be talking with Pete Wildebohr, the chair of the New Hanover Board of Education. Good evening, Pete. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me here today. And I didn't even call you Mr. Sample this time.
Not yet, but the night is still young. Congratulations to you. You are the new chairman of the Board of Education after a very, very tough race.
Yeah, it was. It was a tough race, but I was really excited to see four Republicans come across in the top four places. I'll be honest, when I stepped into that victory party with the GOP, I looked up there and I saw that I was in sixth place and that the Democrats were in one through four. And I was like, wow. I talked to my campaign manager, Pete DeVoki, and I said, maybe I really need to start working on my golf game, I think. And so I'm not sure you're gonna come back for this, but I mean, I do believe the good Lord intervened. And when, you know, two of us popped up there, Pat Bradford and I popped up into the top four, and then all of a sudden, ultimately, all four of us did. And so I think there's going to be some great things done by our Board of Education. We have plans. Even this Friday, we'll be meeting, having a retreat, getting, rolling up the sleeves, really working hard. I'm not one that we need to be on the dais to do everything and look all official. We need to roll up our sleeves and get some really good things done for our students, for our faculties, get back to the basics of education.
And I am told that with the chairmanship, there's going to be no tie. So we're in a day and age where we have gotten back to the idea of holding our elected officials accountable to their platforms that they ran on. And you and your other Republican candidates, one of the biggest things that you ran on was parental rights and parents Absolutely. Being able to know what's going on in the classrooms with their kids. Mm-hmm. What are the areas that you're tackling? What are the things that you're looking at right off the bat to get parents back in their rightful place?
Well, you know, I think it is really important. It's a partnership. It's not us against them. And for too many years, it's been us against them. And I don't mean just in New Hanover County. I mean, throughout the country where it's, you know, things like, you know, somebody comes up and speaks their mind and we're shutting them down because they're, you know, a terrorist or something. That's crazy. We need parent support. We need parents to be partner, hand in glove with us, working together to help their children's education. It's their child. We are in loco parentis. We work with them. But it is really, really important to work with them and respect. I mean, it needs to be, mutual respect. I remember 112 years ago when I was a child, you know, my parents said if the teacher said it happened or the teacher said this, that's what happened. And I mean, I'm not saying we have to blindly say everything that the teachers say is correct, but I mean, we need to go in there with that attitude that we're going to work together with parents. We have a lot of great things. We have a parent portal we'll be talking about on Friday to give parents a new way to talk to us. We need to expand the, the call audience to, I did do that. It's one of the things I did was able to get done during my first 2 years. We have those town halls where we can hear from people, but you know, we need to hear from a lot more parents. It doesn't need to be the same small group to show up every time. I mean, we want to hear from them, but we want to hear from everyone else that has concerns as well. So the more ways we can hear from parents, the better I think we'll be, because we do need to address the bigger concerns that a lot of people have. And, you know, another one of the big ones is safety. I mean, every one of the seven of us, I mentioned that the other day to the whole board, every one of the seven of us ran on student safety, on improving student safety. And we really have to do that, because if a student doesn't feel safe, they're looking over their shoulder for whatever reason. They're not learning. They're not working. You know, their brain isn't working at the highest levels where it can. And, you know, we saw the other day, we're about 3 years behind in educating wow. our children in the pandemic. so we have to do everything we can to really focus on education and letting the teachers teach, having the administrators support them and know what's going on in the schools so that we can teach the highest level and we can catch our students up.
One of the things that we've talked about here on this podcast and in other places across the country, going back to what parents are seeing their kids come home from school is some of the books that they're reading, some of the topics that they're studying. It's in some places, the school board would shut down a parent because they are reading something from a book, and they had, mm-hmm. they had laws against that kind of language in a public forum. Are we facing that kind of stuff here in New Hanover? Go ahead.
I was going to say, we've actually had that in our board meetings where somebody comes up and said, I'm going to read from a book that I got from one of the high schools, and they start reading and it's graphic, and former chairs would gavel them and say, you can't read that in here. And it's like, but this book came from, whatever high school it was. So we have to look at that. We have to look at forming a committee that can really look at that. We don't need, if a parent wants back to parents' rights, if a parent wants their child to read that at home, that's between them and the parent. But the school does not need to be the source of some kind of something that is beyond anything that could be looked at as literacy. I used to have, when I was a principal of elementary school, I'd have situations where somebody would bring a book like that, not nearly as bad as that, but a book like that. And I would go to the teacher and say, can't we find something that will give them the same positive things without having this negative? And I mean, that's what we need to look at. I mean, we're not, stamping on First Amendment rights. If a parent wants a child to read that, then they can do that, inside of their own home. That's their choice. Totally up to them. Not saying we should stop them from doing that in their home. But in the school system, we just don't need that kind of thing. We need to look at that, look very closely at that, and make it a situation that, again, keeping the children safe. And I mean, even from things like that. I mean, that's another way that is negatively impacting our students.
Things like that, though, just to put it in perspective, those kind of books didn't get put into our schools overnight, and getting those books out of our schools and that kind of mindset out of our schools isn't going to happen overnight either. It's not just going to happen at a Friday school board and it all goes away.
No, we that's one of those things, but we need, and one of the biggest things that the Board of Education does is put policies in place, and we need to put policies that will positively reflect that concern. So that in the future it doesn't happen. And we need to look at what we have in schools now. Librarians are fantastic people. I had, when I was at North Opsahl, we had two just fantastic librarians. They know what's in their libraries. They know what's going on. And if we give them the authority to say, hey, this is something that I really question, then we need to, again, have a policy in place that it can be questioned, brought before either a subcommittee of the board or in front of the whole board. And we should read it, or read as much as we feel is necessary. And, and then if it is, any, you look at different grade levels too, but, at the elementary level, you don't need any of that. I don't think that, especially some of that graphic stuff doesn't need to be at any level, to be honest.
Right. Right. One of the other things that we talked about before the podcast is that you said we had how many schools fail standards? Was it 18 that you said?
The 13 students. And there's some that didn't, were not looked at as low performing schools because they exceeded growth. There's two measures. There is the grade, A, B, C, D, or F. And then you have whether they exceed growth, meet growth, or don't meet growth. And we had several schools that were like F schools and didn't meet growth. So in other words, they didn't even get a year's worth of growth out of a year, and they were already an F school. So we need to really focus on those schools. We need to focus on all our schools, of course, but we need to really focus on those schools and look at ways. The school I took over, I'll be honest, North Opsahl was a great school. I was very blessed to be there. But it hadn't, back in those days, it was called didn't make scores, and it had not made scores for 2 years. And I'm not going to say it was anything to do with Pete Wildebor, but I had a great staff when I took over the school, and we worked very hard together and with parents, including parents as being a vital part of that whole equation. and we're able to change the school system, from a school, a low performing school for 2 years to a school of distinction in 1 year. And we, you know, we carried on from there, and it just was a lot of us to do, you know, dealing with expectations. If a school feels like we've always failed, oh, we were a failing school, then they're going to continue to be a failing school. But you need to have someone, a leader, come in and change that perception. And, you know, we want to make it, you know, you could talk about charter schools, and we want to make it, are charter schools good or bad? Well, yeah, they take money away from the school system, but they also challenge the school system and give us an opportunity to, you know, I'm always up for a good challenge. So I think we need to continue to make it, and we need to make it to the point where, you know, no one wants to go somewhere else. No one wants to go to a private school or a charter school, because New Hanover County schools are that good as a whole. So just not some of them.
We talked back in November about principals being the captain of their ships, is that we can talk about teachers, we can talk about school boards, but it really comes down to principals getting it all done in their local schools. Have you had a chance to talk to any principals since you've gotten in there?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I that's one of the things one of the best parts of the job, I'll say, is going to schools. You know, I was told by one board member before that, well, they don't like when you come. Well, I disagree. Everywhere I've gone, all the schools I've gone to, and I still have not gone to every single school, but I've gone to just about every school, and I need to get back out there. When I was going, you know, running for reelection, I kind of curtailed my time out there. But, yeah, I've talked to a lot of principals. A lot of principals are excited that I'm the chair. A lot of principals. I do have three students, former students, that are now principals. So yeah, I'm 112.
That's a good thing.
Well, it is. And a lot of others that I went to school with, there was one point that every single high school principal was either a colleague at one point or the other, or a former student. The principal runs the ship. Teachers are vitally, vitally important. All the staff is vitally, vitally important, but your principal sets the tone for the school. And so it is crucial that we have great people. We just hired a great person, a former colleague of mine from Pender County, to one of the low performing schools. And I'm so excited that he's come on board. I won't mention his name yet, but he's come on board, and I think he's going to turn that school around in a real positive way. And so I'm so, so excited to see him join. I have, you know, several colleagues that worked with me either in Brunswick County or in Pender County that, you know, and it's great, because I had one middle school principal that was a very good friend of mine. He's a was a colleague of mine in Pender County, and went to his school one day. And I always tell principals, if it's a bad time, please tell me. I'll go somewhere else. No hard feelings. And he said, yeah, he went and he said, Pete, I'm in the middle of something. I said, all right, I'll come back another day. Turned around and he said, Pete, I trust you. Walk around. Go see what's going on. And just gave me, you know, kind of carte blanche to walk around the school and, nice, you know, talk to people. I got stopped by one substitute in that school. It was interesting. She stopped me. She said, you better not take Mr. Madden away from here, because Mr. Madden is the best thing that's ever happened to this school. And I was like, all right. And, you know, of course, Mr. Madden is our principal of the year. So, you know, congratulations to him on that. But it well deserved. And but it's interesting that, you know, that's I have that kind of, you know, just getting along with people that, you know, that I don't, you know, there's some new people that I don't, you know, that I didn't teach or work with or something. And, you know, I get a lot of the same thing, you know, hey, can we sit down and talk? Let's do it. You know, because I want to know what's going on in the schools. And I had one guy that, you know, is a friend of mine. And he said, can you stop by my school? Because we're having trouble with buses. And I think, you know, maybe you could help fix that problem. And I stopped by, I talked to the principal and a couple other folks, some of the bus drivers, and was able to talk to central office. And it is a lot better right now.
That's fantastic.
I'm not saying it was because of me, but, you know, a little bit of, you know, a little bit grease on the wheel sometimes helps.
I remember in the campaign, you were actually out there directing buses at one point. So buses seems to be your forte.
Well, I was an assistant principal for quite a while. So, yeah, I love running, you know, dealing with the buses. I actually have my CDL, which I don't want to put out too, you know, because within, you know, we're running short on a bus driver, we'll get the chairman of the board out there to drive that bus, you know. So
okay. School safety. What are some of the quick things that you can address in school safety? We talk a lot about.
I'm excited about this meeting on Friday because we have some folks coming in with some new ideas. You know, we have some schools that have a lot of open doors. We need to address that. We need to keep in, you know, we need to keep them safe from the inside and from the outside. And, you know, we've had, unfortunately, in this area, we had a school shooting in New Hanover County. We also had another one in Onslow County. So we need to make sure that, you know, that we keep everybody safe. And there's so many new things that can be done. Like I was talking to the superintendent the other day about the idea of putting drones, having drones out to you know, look at the outside of buildings. We have a company that's coming in to talk to us on Friday about some new ideas and some things they can do. The vice chair and I met with a gentleman the other day who is a former Navy SEAL, and he's got some ideas. So, I mean, a lot of times it's pulling in the community, everybody you can to try to make it as best as possible. And
as always, you know, it's that mixture of keeping our schools safe and not creating Fort Knoxes.
That's true.
The technology that you're looking at, like drones and other things, gives you that security,
right,
without throwing up the barbed wire.
Right, right. And one of the schools, one of the high schools, was talking about, you know, putting up fences and doing this and doing that. And it's like, you start making it look like you say Fort Knox or whatever, or prison even. And we don't want that. We wanted a welcoming place. One of the first things I did when I took over North Opsahl was I put a big sign out front, welcome. And I meant it. You know, I wanted everybody to come in. Yeah, of course, all the good people to come in. But, you know, we want to keep people safe, but we also want to welcome them. We don't want to have, you know, where you have to, you know, get in through four locked doors or something. So it is, as you say, it's a fine balance. We want to keep students, faculty, everyone safe, but we also want to make it a welcoming place and a place where children want to, you know, and I call them children. You know, I know some are 18 years old and taller than I am, but still we want young people to, you know, want to come to school and enjoy being there.
You've got your first meeting on Friday. The first meeting as you as chair, and everybody has sat down there behind the stuff and taking up their positions. What else is on the plate that you can share with us that people should know about?
We've talked a little bit about academics, getting the academics back up, and I mean there's so many other things that are pulling it at time right now, and we have just a brief, you know, amount of time each and every day. So we need to really get back to focusing on educating our children, getting them. Third grade is a huge grade. Getting them to grade level reading by third grade, that is huge. You mentioned parental rights, curriculum. We need to look at curriculum, you know, and a lot of people are like, well, the board, you know, the state board gives it to you. You got to do it. Well, you look at Brunswick County, for instance. Brunswick County actually passed a policy that said that there were certain things like CRT that they would not teach. So, the local boards do have some control over that. We need to look at that. And the other big thing in front of us right now is we are in budget season. So we have to work with our partners, the county commissioners, very closely. We've already discussed things. Real excited that Bill Reidenbach is the chair of the county commissioners. So we'll be working very closely with him and the rest of the county commissioners as we look forward to, a really strong budget season. We need to support our staff. We need to get new schools built. We have a lot of things on the agenda in that area.
What's the best way to keep open those lines of communication between you and families?
Well, you can email me, obviously, Pete.Wildebor, WILDEBOER, @nhcs.net. My cell number, 910-620-8443. Those are probably the two best ways to get up with me. And I will try to return. I use the same idea that I used when I was principal. I try to return phone calls within 24 hours. So you may not get me right off, but I will try to get back to you within 24 hours. Come out to a Board of Education meeting. We have one next Tuesday. We do have a call to audience time. And unfortunately, at that point, we don't respond back and forth. But I do take notes. A lot of people say, oh, you guys are up there on your phones. Well, If I'm on my phone, it's because somebody's texting me something about what's going on, maybe. But more often than not, I'm taking notes. And we do have, you know, in case people don't know, when they do sign up to go to Call to Audience, their email is there, so we can respond and talk back and forth that way too. So that gives us that, you know, that avenue to be able to speak with them.
You know, we've talked a lot about leadership being in the schools, but Pete Wildebor has taken up the leadership at New Hanover Board of Education. So glad to have you be here, Pete, and I look forward to talking with you some more and seeing what's going on, and all the best. Congratulations again, Pete. Thanks for being here.